Tonight, before we start, I want to welcome the new people. This meeting's different. We go through the book. We study the directions. We have three meetings. We're at different parts of the book at all three meetings. First, I'm going to say the set-aside prayer. God, set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Amen. Yesterday was 10 years since we started the meeting, that last Saturday. And I told my wife this morning that, you know, we couldn't have done it without her. She knows my commitment to the three meetings. I can't tell you how many Xerox copies she's made. She knows it's important to me. We arrange our schedule around it. And she's really helped me a lot. And we finished working with others, and we're going to do To Wives. I thought we'd skip To Wives and Family afterwards and Vision for You and that, and just do some stories because we'd gone through that on Wednesday night, but I realized that was 5 months ago, and I think it's important that we study the book and we go through the first 164 pages, so we're going to be doing that on Sunday night as well. This will be the, we're going through the book for the 11th time, I think, on Saturday. On Saturday, if you can join us at 9:15, I thought one of our best meetings ever was yesterday. It was really good. Ed said it was a home run. And we just did two paragraphs. We did the how and why of our decision in step three, and we did the third step promises. I was sending links out to people so that they would know when I put a new podcast up, but I've decided not to do that anymore. I did it for 5 months. If you find the site helpful, just go every other day. There's a new episode put up. Usually three a week. And I've done about 70 thoughts, and I'll do some more thoughts at some point, but I haven't been doing those for a while. I'm on injured reserve. I had this terrible rib injury, and Wednesday I just really couldn't get here, so I hope you'll forgive me. Doctor told me to sit in the chair, not to move. And it's a little bit better today. I was here yesterday, but it's gotten a little bit worse. I tore the cartilage from the rib muscle. Don't ask me how. I was picking up my granddaughter's LOL surprise doll. It happened. I bent over and I felt the thing tear. So anyway, that's it. So give me a break tonight if I sound a little dysfunctional more than usual. On this Saturday, we're going to be doing the third step prayer and look at that in detail. And then if you're new, we're going to be going right through the steps, the 4 through 9. On Wednesdays, we had started the big book over and we're on Bill's story. Stu did a great job, and we're going to be studying that and go through those chapters. The one thing that's given me a lot of joy is seeing people that I have seen come in and they know the deal. When I'm not here, they do the meetings, they know the stuff. You can hear them talk, they know the program. That's why I started this meeting, so that we would know the directions. Now, there is a hint, and Jan said, we have to do them. It's not a program of knowledge, it's a program of action. I don't know where Steve is, but that's what he says all the time. There he is. And Steve talks, it's a program of action. It's a program of doing. It's not a program for those who want it. It's a program for those who do it. We're going to be doing To Wives. And for years, I didn't do To Wives. I skipped those chapters, To Wives, to the Family afterward, to Employers, because, you know, I knew everything, right? You know, I am. And I said, well, you know, we'll just do a Vision for You. And that was an old idea that was really stupid. And so my buddy Mark Ofor said, well, why don't you do To Wives? I said, well, I don't know. And so we've done it, and we've done it the last year, and it's really, this chapter's really changed my life. this really chapter, a lot of people don't like it because it's written by Bill W., who was not a wife. Lois did not write this. A woman did not write this. He wrote it, but it's really to alcoholics. It describes us. It describes how we look to people that we live with and who love us. And it's a great, it has great principles on how we live our lives. The 12th step, everybody knows the 12th step is, you're supposed to work with other alcoholics, right? But the 12th step really is about having had a result of working the steps where you have a spiritual awakening. And you're awake to the Spirit, you're awake to God, and you have a power in your life to live. Anybody think that's a good thing?
Yes.
And for those who've had it, it's hard to describe to people who haven't had it. And the second part is to carry this message to other people that if you work the steps, you will have this relationship. And the second part of the 12th step is really to do it with someone. It's to actually go through the material in the book with someone and show them what you did so they could do it. And that's what I've tried to do at this meeting. But the third part of the 12th step is the one that really leads to emotional sobriety, right? Do we practice these principles, these spiritual principles in our lives? If we do, good things happen. If we don't, guess what? Bad things happen. And we don't have a relationship with God if we're not seeking Him and working the steps to maintain that contact. And these chapters are really how we practice the principles in our affairs. And so with that, we're going to read a few pages tonight and open it up. And I also thought that Jen, I think she's sitting behind me. Well, I realize that we've had a lot of new people come in the last few months who have families. They have significant others. And this chapter really helps us look at how we look to them so we can be understanding to them, how we can change, and how our relationships can improve. Anybody think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
So let's see what we can get out of it. It says two wives with an asterisk. It says in the beginning there were a few women in AA. Believe it or not, they didn't think women could be alcoholics. When this book was first written in 1935, because women were very clever. They concealed their alcoholism better than men. And it was a different world then. Women did not work outside the home. There was no money. We were in a depression. It was a whole different world. But now we know that there are women who are alcoholics. Any in this room? Few? Yeah. And it doesn't spare any kind of social level or sex or geographic. It can affect anyone. It says, with few exceptions, our book thus far has spoken of men. But what we have said applies quite as much to women. Our activities in behalf of women who drink are on the increase. There's every evidence that women regain their health as readily as men. So that's a good statement. Isn't that hope?
Yeah.
But for those who are new, we read the book line by line. There's always a warning. It says women and men regain their health if they try our suggestions. Now, trying the suggestions means that you actually do them. This is a suggestion, like if you are in an airplane and the airplane is going down and you have a parachute, we suggest you pull the chute. Now, some alcoholics will say, well, I'm not close enough to the ground yet. You know, I still got time. Let me think this out. I don't want to overreact, you know. We could pull out of this. But it's a suggestion that, and the program is not suggested. A lot of people misunderstand that. It says it's suggested as a program of recovery. The program of recovery is not suggested. It is the program. It's suggested that you do it. And the result, if you don't do it, is your result. Now, the result, if you do it, you can see around the room, and people talk about that tonight. And that's what we're supposed to share at birthdays. What's the result of doing this? And so we're supposed to be giving hope. There are new people here. There's hope for you. Now, in the foreword to the first edition, it says, we had a hopeless condition of mind and body. Seemingly. They said we had a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body. And this book has the specific directions on what they did so that they don't have a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body. Seemingly is a powerful word. It seems hopeless until you do the suggestions. Now, just the fact that they wrote this book tells you that it's not a hopeless condition of mind and body. There is a solution. So I don't know if that any of that makes sense. If I ramble too much, just cut me off and we'll open it up. But not too quickly. But for every man who drinks, others are involved. Harms. The wife who trembles in fear of the next debauch. Debauch isn't good, by the way. And they tremble in fear of just living with us. Now, one of the problems with this chapter, it talks a lot about how when we drink, the people are scared of us or affected. But they're scared of us when we're sober. Right? And remember, for those who are new, when does alcoholism occur? It occurs when you're sober. When you're drunk, you've just had the effect of alcohol. But the disease of alcoholism strikes when you're sober. Because when you're sober without God, then you have no solution to the way you live, the way you feel. We name the disease alcoholism after the drug we took to treat it. Now, does anybody think that alcohol is a good treatment for alcoholism? Now, bad idea. Let me clear that up right away. It's a bad idea. Now, it worked in the beginning because it changed the way we felt, right? And it made the world seem okay. But it stops working. Now, the only difference between an addict and an alcoholic is what you use to treat your alcoholism. Alcoholism is a spiritual disease, a self-centered life separated from God in which you're running the show and things don't go well. And they keep getting worse. And that's a hint, if you're new, it's just going to get worse. I saw a guy last week, he hadn't come for a while. And I said, well, how are things going? I said, let me guess, not good. He said, not good. And so that's the disease, is when we're sober. Son of a bitch, everything is real. Yeah. Alcoholism is a disease of our emotions. We don't like the way we feel, and then we want to change that. Now, we have a solution to that that doesn't require alcohol. It's called God. When we don't feel good, we know we're separated from God. We work these steps. We seek God, conscious contact with God, and God relieves us of how we feel. He helps us see things differently. So I don't know if that made sense. We always have some new people in here, and I like to tie everything into the first step. It says, among us are wise relatives and friends whose problem has been solved, as well as some who have not yet found a happy solution. We want the wives of AA to address the wives of men who drink too much. What they say will apply to nearly everyone bound by ties of blood or affection to an alcoholic. And as wives of AA, we would like you to feel that we understand this, perhaps few can. I think that's a false statement. I don't think they really understood us, the wives. We appear to be really crazy, crazy people who are mean, self-centered, inconsistent, and any other bad things you would describe about us. And they don't understand us. But now this book was written so that people can understand this now. Does this make sense? It says, we want to analyze the mistakes we have made. And you know, when we analyze the mistakes we've made, that's our fourth step, right? The fourth column. And we look at the mistakes we made that caused our anger and fear and our bad decisions. And it's the same thing for the people who live with us. They've made mistakes too. And that's one of the problems with relationships, is that the person who comes in here, the family's glad you're here because you need to be fixed. But they need work too, because they develop very unhealthy habits of living when they live with an alcoholic. And that's why Al-Anon is so important. We're all codependent. all alcoholics and non-alcoholics, we're all codependent. Bill W. said that what we want is emotional sobriety. Physical sobriety just means you're living sober without alcohol. Emotional sobriety means that you don't have unhealthy codependencies anymore. Does anybody know what that means? We're not dependent on other people for how we feel. We're not dependent on things for how we feel. We're not dependent on how people drive in front of us for how we feel. We're not dependent on whether I have to wait in Walgreens for the lady who has 80 coupons when I just want to get milk. Yeah, well, there you go. And you see, we have unhealthy emotional dependencies. We worship things and we worship them and they become our higher power. It says, we want to leave you with the feeling that no situation, this is a great line, is too difficult and no unhappiness too great to be overcome. Mm-hmm. What a message. Anybody believe that's true? Isn't this what the Bible tells us? That there's no situation too difficult, no happiness too great to be overcome, but they left something out. With God. Without God, we can't overcome anything, right? And in fact, isn't that what the New Testament's all about? We have a sinful nature that we can't change, right? We can't change it, right, Norm?
That's right.
But we have a power that we can live, and that power will change us. It says, we have traveled a rocky road. There's no mistake about that. We have had a long rendezvous with hurt, pride, frustration, self-pity, misunderstanding, and fear. These are not pleasant companions. What a statement. And you see, it's true for the alcoholic, but also the non-alcoholic. And it's true for people who aren't alcoholics, who are just normal people. And they have hurt, pride, frustration, self-pity, misunderstanding, and fear. But that won't kill them. That will just make them miserable. It kills us because we drink over it. And we use over it, right? They just stay miserable. It says these are not pleasant companions. Now, remember, we talked about in the third step that we are driven by, 100 forms of fear, self-pity, delusion, self-centeredness, self-seeking. We're driven by these things. Now, why do we have hurt, pride, frustration, self-pity, misunderstanding, and fear? Why are they constant companions? Because we're living on me and what I want and how I'm going to run the world. And when I run the world, it doesn't go well. Does anybody have that happen to them? And so we don't have to live it that way anymore. And it says, I wrote, it's not what happened in my life that it was a problem. It's how I reacted to it. I wrote that. That's pretty good. But it's true. It's not what happened in my life. It's how I reacted to it. And what I've learned is that I have a power now that I can react to any situation differently than I did before. Now that's called a spiritual awakening. And now how do you react differently than you did before when you have a relationship with God? So what am I talking about? Let's say something happens that you think is bad. Now you decide it's bad, right? Nobody says, Michael, that was bad. I say it's bad. Well, I don't do that anymore. I say, now I have the situation, God. This is what's going on. God, give me the serenity so that I can see with the wisdom what I need to change or accept. Does this make sense? And so it says, we have been driven to maudlin sympathy, self-pity, or tearfully sentimental. To bitter resentment. You see, we don't have just resentment. We have bitter resentments. In fact, alcoholics are in favor of the death penalty. Did you know that? Because we've wanted to execute a lot of people in our lives. I don't know about you, but I used to have a list. Who's the one that I want to execute today? Now, we're all laughing, but when we are in deep resentment, we feel that way. And it's real. And we believe it, and it's no way to live. Some of us have veered from extreme to extreme, ever hoping that one day, I love this one, our loved ones would be themselves once more. I wrote, do we really want that? Do we really want that? to be that way because they weren't that great sober. And you see, we don't want things the way they were. Our loyalty and the desire that our husbands hold up their heads and be like other men have begotten all sorts of predicaments. We have been unselfish and self-sacrificing. I wrote, is that true? We've been unselfish and self-sacrificing, trying to help them, but it's a negative codependence. It's not a positive reaction. We have told innumerable lies to protect our pride and our husbands' reputations. We have prayed, we have begged, we've been patient. We have struck out viciously, we have run away, we have been hysterical, we have been terror-stricken, we have sought sympathy, and we have had retaliatory love affairs with other men. Now, if you change this, you could say the alcoholic. I was unselfish. No, I was never unselfish or self-sacrificing. I always wanted to get something for me. Did anybody tell lies?
Yeah.
Did anybody try to protect their pride and their reputations?
Yeah.
Did anybody struck out viciously?
Yeah.
Anybody run away?
Yeah.
Anybody been hysterical?
Yeah.
What about terror-stricken?
Yeah.
And we, anybody seek sympathy?
Yes.
Anybody have retaliatory love affairs?
Yes.
I told you it's a great chapter. I mean, look at this. Our homes have been battlegrounds many an evening. Did any of you live in a home that was a battleground?
Yes.
You know, I could say, I am so grateful to God that when I come home tonight, I'm coming home to someone who I love and I don't have a battleground. And I don't have to worry about how she feels or is she okay. I don't have to be dependent on how she is to be okay. She's okay being the way she is. And so that's been a great gift, not to live in a battleground. And it says, in the morning we have kissed and made up, our friends have counseled chucking the men, and we have done so with finality, only to be back in a little while, hoping, always hoping. Our men have sworn great solemn oaths that they were through drinking forever. Anybody here swear an oath? Now, it's not just an oath, a solemn oath. Anybody swear an oath that they were never going to drink again?
Yes.
Anybody in this room not do that? Did anybody not do this? All right, and then we did it, right?
Yeah.
And that shows how we couldn't follow through on what we wanted to do. Now, that doesn't mean that we're bad people. It means that we didn't have the power. I did not have a power to follow through on the oath. I wanted to follow through, but I didn't have the power. And so this whole book is about how do I find a power so I can follow through on the things that I know I need to do. It says, we have believed them when no one else could or would. Then in days, weeks, or months, a fresh outburst. Has anybody dealt with alcoholics who tell you these things that they could not possibly be lying to you? They tell you things and they look you in the face and they couldn't possibly be lying. You couldn't have made that up, right? And we believe them. Well, you see, I had that problem with my son. You know, my son died, 10 years ago of his drug addiction. He would tell me these things, and they were actually fairly preposterous. But I would believe him. You know, I loved him, and I would believe him. And then I have a guy who calls me now a lot, and he tells me all these stories of where he is and what he's doing and this and that. And he's so busy. He's building buildings and going to Oklahoma and working on fixing the family home and this and that. It's been for 6 months. And then I got a call from this lady from Oregon. It's his sister. And she says, do you realize he hasn't left his apartment in 6 months? The only place he's been is the liquor store. I said, no, you're kidding me. It can't be this guy. I said, tell me. And I believed him. And it sounded so real. And he believed it. Now, I don't confront him. I mean, that's no value in that. But we make up these stories and we believe them. So the fourth step, it says, we tell someone our life story, right? Have you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
It's a story because we believe it, but it's not true. And so the things that we do, and I said the set-aside prayer, what I need to do constantly is look at my thinking and see if it's true or not. And I can't do that on my own, so I have to go to God. Right, Gary? Mm-hmm. We go to the vertical. And so I've learned that. And when we tell our story now, it's different than it was. Sandy Beach said that the one thing that happened in recovery was his childhood kept getting better and better. His parents were nicer. His ex-wife was nicer. Things changed. And so that's one of the great gifts of sobriety, is that we can see the truth about things and we don't have to live on lies. And so I'm just going to read another line or two and then I'll shut up. It says, we have believed them when no one else could or would, then days, weeks, or months of fresh outburst. We never had friends in our home, never knowing how or when the house would appear. People were afraid of us. They didn't know how we would be, right? And we came to live almost alone. Now, this is the spouse, but what about you? Did anybody here live alone in their own little world with their alcoholism at the end? Anybody in the basement? I was a basement guy. Any basement people here? Garage? We separate from the world. We live alone without God, and it's a very, very, very bad place to be. And it says, there was never financial security. I'm going to end with this line because it's pretty funny. The never financial security, positions were always in jeopardy or gone. I like this. An armored car could not have brought the pay envelopes home. The checking account melted like snow in June. In other words, and I'll start with this, we were completely undependable people. We were people that hurt the people we loved. And we looked at this yesterday. It says we made decisions based on self, which hurt ourselves and others, right? And our troubles were of our making, and they arose out of myself, and I was self-centered. So we'll pick up on this next week. I hope this was helpful. It's kind of a review of where we are when we come in here. Now, the rest of the chapters tell us how we can change so we don't have to be there anymore. I'll open it up. Thank you.